Good morning. I wish to share with you this morning John chapter 12 and verse 26. John 12 and verse 26. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will also be. If anyone serves me, God the Father will honor him. Now, if we take those words just backwards, I want you to see the conditions placed here. If you want to be honored by God, that is, in heaven, then you're going to have to be where Jesus is. If you want to be honored by God, then you're going to have to serve and follow Jesus. So let's talk about that this morning so that we can see what Jesus means by this. Now, I give you a list of things here. I'm not going to go through all of those things, but there are some things that I would like to share with you. If you are to turn to John chapter 14 and verse 15, it says that if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, that thought is a pretty important idea to Jesus, for he says in verse 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and disclose myself to him. Verse 23, Jesus says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. So that idea is very prevalent in Jesus' mind. And he wants to get across to everybody that hears him, reads the book, whatever the case might be, however that happens. Jesus wants people to understand that love and submission and obedience are all tied together. Well, now we're going to ask, how is it then that we love Jesus? How and why do we love Jesus? Well, number one, without him, there would be no heaven for us. There would be no glory in heaven for us. We wouldn't even be able to get to heaven. Without Jesus, we'd end up in hell, eternally separated from God in what's called a burning lake of fire. Without Jesus, there would be no remission of our sins, and we would die that way and once again end up in hell. If it were not for Jesus, we wouldn't have access to God so that we might talk to him in prayer. If it weren't for Jesus, we would not be able to share life with him and our Father, and we'd be totally upon our own self. Without Jesus, without understanding who the Father is and his promises, this life would be without hope. It would be very bleak, and it would be super difficult, and we would be down in the pits of our heart every day. Now, as I say that, there are some things that we want to think about. Number one, we talked about pride a couple of weeks ago. If you're going to be arrogant and arrogant before God, arrogant toward others, life just isn't going to happen for you. If you seek peace with others, those in your family, those outside of your family, with those that are members of the body of Christ, if you want peace, then God says you're going to have to be peace that is within him as well. If you want peace, you got to make peace. If you want sustenance upon this earth, then you're going to have to do or be the way that God wants you to be. If you're a liar, stop lying. If you're a thief, stop thieving. If you're greedy, stop being so materialistic. If you are lustful, then keep your eyes averted to or from that lust. We do not want to follow these things, for we know that in the end it means spiritual death, and we want no part of that whatsoever. So there are a number of ways that we're going to follow Jesus. Number one is to love him, as we said.
Number two is to obey him. But let me express this to you. Think about this now. You think your cursing may be slight. You think your whatever you take into your body may be not so important. You lust, and that's okay. You're greedy, and you think, well, that's just the way life is. But let me tell you this. Let me tell you this one super important thing. If people on earth knew what the dead know now, they would change their life immediately and forever. Can I say that one more time? Because it's that important. If the people on earth, people who are alive right now, if they knew what the dead know now, they would change their life immediately and forever and ever. Those small things that are sin in your life, there's no such thing as a small sin. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 says the wages of sin is death. Now, it doesn't say that except for the tiny sins. The wages of sin, except for the tiny ones, mean your death. Now, it doesn't say that at all. God says the wages of sin means our death. That means whatever you think is a small, tiny sin, it's a huge sin. And my friends, if you don't correct that, I can preach to myself, if I don't correct that for myself, we are all going to spend eternity in hell. That's something that is surely prevalent amongst this study as we're doing this morning. All right, if you're going to follow Jesus, if you're going to serve Jesus, you're going to have to follow him. Now, does that mean that we have to go over to Jerusalem and we have to go up to Galilee and walk through Samaria? And do we have to go over to Decapolis area? And do we have to go down to Jerusalem? Do we have to go south of that? We have to go over to Bethlehem? Do we need to go over to Egypt? No, that's not what Jesus is saying whatsoever. Jesus is saying you have to follow him in spirit and in truth. That's John chapter 4, verse 24. Those who worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. So if you're interested in going to heaven, you're going to worship the Lord Jesus because he is God, just as much as God the Father is God, just as much as the Holy Spirit is God. You're going to have to worship him in spirit, in your heart and mind, and in sincerity of the truth. Now, whatever that truth says, whatever that truth, however that truth convicts you, you're going to have to follow that path. That's the only way to follow Jesus that I know of. All right, well, let's make our second point then. If anyone serves me, he's going to be where I am. Now, you would think, well, Garland, that's pretty crazy, man. Jesus is in heaven. We know that. Acts 1, he ascended into heaven, and he'll come back in the same sort of way. But right now, Jesus is in heaven. So are you telling me that I'm in heaven right here and now? And the answer to that would be obviously not. But I do turn your attention to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. This is a prayer that Jesus makes. It is probably erroneously titled in your Bible. If you have Bible headings, it's called the priestly prayer. It's not. That has nothing to do with this chapter whatsoever. But I want you to notice in John chapter 17 in verse 11, he says, I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. And I come to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. All right. So if you're a Christian, you are absolutely connected to God. You are absolutely connected to Jesus. You are truly absolutely connected to the Holy Spirit. We'll find out some stuff here as we go along about that very thought. So Jesus says that where I am, they must be also. But he starts off by saying in this prayer, verse 11, and yet
they themselves are in the world. And so it is for a time.
You understand that we're spirit beings first and foremost. We just happen to have flesh for a number of years. We're really, truly spirit people. Just like God is spirit, Jesus is spirit, the Holy Spirit is spirit. We are spirit as well. We just go through this earth. It's a journey until we get back home to heaven, where we will enjoy and have our spirit body. Nonetheless, we are where Jesus is right now. If you're a Christian, Jesus is with you right here and now. Now, he also says a very strange thing, that in verse 16 of John chapter 17, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world.
Well, would you agree that Jesus was a perfect man here on earth? And you would say, well, of course he's a perfect man here on earth. And so Jesus ascended back to heaven, as we've already said. So Jesus, being the perfect man, doing completely God's will, has followed God's plan according to the terms of salvation, and he himself has gone back to heaven. However, it says then that we Christians, are not of the world. Now, Jesus was not of the world, obviously, to begin with. He was with the Father in the beginning. There was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and all things were made through him. Anything that exists was made through him. That being the case, Jesus being a spirit in heaven, let me tell you, I believe truly that we are with Jesus, figuratively speaking, in heaven with him. Now, how does that happen? Well, aren't you a Christian?
If you've been baptized to wash away your sins, doesn't that make you a Christian? And doesn't that mean that you're with Jesus? Not physically, of course. We're not in heaven right now. That's obvious. We understand that. But we are with Jesus, even though we're of this world. We are not, even though we're not in this world, we are not of this world. The world is different for Christians. We are not in all the garbage. We are not in all the sin. We don't murder. We don't commit immorality. We don't get drunk. We don't do all these other kinds of things that God prohibits, but that our total life, our total being is given over to our Lord and Savior right here and now. So he makes these two statements. They are in the world, obviously, and they are also out of the world, not of the world. And that means that we are with Jesus. Now, I want to point that out. I'll bring that up a little more. If you would, please, turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, please. And take a look with me at verses 9 through 11. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 9. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 9. Now hear this. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Oh, now, how does that? That means that if Paul is telling the truth, and I suspect that he is telling us that we are in the Holy Spirit right now, right here, even as we sit and think and consider these things. It says, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. That is, the flesh is not the deal. The Spirit is the most important thing. And when you align yourself with God, that you are in the Spirit. If indeed now the Spirit of God, what? Dwells in you. Now, consider this for a moment. Let's talk about compounding. Now, when you have, let's say, a savings account, and you earn interest on that money that's in your savings account, we come across the term, our money is compounded. That means that there will be more money at this period of time, and it's going to be added to the original amount. And then as time goes on, that money that's out there, that interest that we've earned out there, is going to be in with our original amount. That's the concept of money being compounded. I want to express this to you.
even though that there were different points along the way that our money came back to the original amount, in with the original amount, God is compounding. Well, what do you mean by that? God is compounded in the sense that Jesus is in with God, and the Holy Spirit is within God the Father. And so they are compounded, if you will see that and look at that. There's one God, but there are certainly three personalities. And so what we have here in Romans chapter 8 is a very true spiritual thought that we are in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is in us. Now look at verse 10. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. The Spirit is alive. That is my spirit. My spirit is alive because of righteousness. God, the Holy Spirit, is in me, and I am in the Holy Spirit. Jesus, the Savior, the Son of God, is deity, and he is in me just as I am in him. Now, verse 11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Compare that with Scripture. Compare your life with Scripture. If the Holy Spirit is in me, am I following Jesus? Am I following the Holy Spirit? Am I following the Father? And look then at those things that we consider small sins again. How much is the Holy Spirit in me if I'm sinning repetitively? How much is God the Father in me as I am sinning? He's not. How much is Jesus within me if I continue to make repetitive sins? He's not. But when you repent, you see, then life changes for you. The Holy Spirit is once again with you. Jesus is with you. God the Father is with you. In that sense, notice that there is a unifying oneness, just as Jesus prayed about in John chapter 17, and just as Romans chapter 8, 9 through 11 have to say. We are all certainly united. All right, that's a big deal. If you don't realize that, if you don't understand that, where is your life as a saint before God? Well, here's our third point this morning. God will honor us, John 12 and verse 26. If we follow Jesus, if we are where Jesus is, God's going to honor us. To be honored by God, what thoughts have you about that? Well, to be honored by God means that God absolutely loves me. To be honored by God means that God is pleased with my life upon earth. If I'm being honored by God, that is glory. If I'm being glorified in heaven with my God, my Savior, and the Holy Spirit, that means that God is pleased with my righteous deeds and acts upon this earth. God will support me in this life, and he will give me eternal life. Now, as you think of that word glory, I always think of it as being a light so bright that we cannot see the detail. That would be glorious. If you could think of the word magnificence, how would that ever describe the God of heaven? Even though we use that word, God is magnificent, that's true. But it's such a small thought in our brains. Nevertheless, God says he wants to honor us. He says it in various places. You're in the book of Romans. If you would, please turn back to chapter 2. Romans chapter 2 and verse 7. Romans chapter 2 and verse 7 has this. To those who by perseverance in doing good Perseverance, that means I keep on doing it. To those who are keeping on being the kind of person that God wants me to be, in doing good, we seek for glory. That means we are with the God of glory, and that means that we too share in that glory. But now look at verse 10. Glory and honor and peace to everyone who does good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now let's turn over to Colossians, please. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27. And then we're going to back up. Verse 27 has this: to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Well, what is that mystery, Paul? He says, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, the expectation of glory. If you get a Bible dictionary and you look at that word hope, hope is not just some wish that we would really hope that that comes to be. Hope in the New Testament means that we expect it. Now, we could also expect hell. Don't get me wrong with that. But if we are saints of God and living the way that He wants us to be, being the kind of people from our heart, from the inside out, we are going to experience this glory. Now, let me back up to verse 24. Now, I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of His body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's affliction. Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. That is, the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to His saints. Salvation was covered up, particularly for non-Jewish people, and for many of the Jews as well, but most of them didn't understand it, but that's a different story. So, all right, so this mystery has been covered up, and God reveals what that mystery is. What is that mystery? It's the gospel. It is that everybody on this earth can have opportunity for salvation, Jews and Gentiles alike. And if that's true, then this mystery has now been made known to the saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of His glory. And that is living a life wherein Jesus is in you. He is the hope of our glory, the hope of our salvation. Once again, friends, little sins, no such thing. You're going to lose your soul if you don't get that squared away.